Thank you, Mike, for that song. That was actually written by a guy and sang by a guy from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. So everything comes back to Muscle Shoals, Alabama. I'm telling you guys, Northwest Alabama is where it's at. Right, Neil? I mean, we talked about that the other day. But anyways, turn with me to Galatians 3. We're going to be in verses 15 through 25. You're a guest. I'm from Alabama, if you can't tell by my accent. And so just letting you know that. Galatians 3, we're going to start in verse 15. We're going to go through verse 25. We're in week 6, if you can believe, in our study of Galatians. And so what we have learned is that the pure form of the gospel, and Paul is just wanting to ensure that we understand what the gospel is and how it applies to our lives. And we find the deeper that we go into the gospel, the more God grows us. It's not that we grow by works, but we actually grow by learning more about God. And the more we know about the gospel and what Christ has done for us, the deeper and more, the more sincere relationship that we're going to have with God. But the gospel is not something that we graduate from. It's not that once we get saved, we graduate past it and we start doing something else. Actually, the gospel is what sustains us for our Christian life. And so today we're going to talk about what is the purpose of the law then. So if God gave the law, then why do we even have the law? Like, what's the purpose? If it can't save us and it really isn't supposed to be something that we're supposed to actually do today, then why do we even have the law? Think back with me to when you were in elementary school, okay? For some of you, that's not really hard. For some of you, maybe it's saying, Danny, I have trouble thinking about last week. And so, but just try your best to think back with me until from when you were in elementary school. Now, if you can remember, every teacher typically has a set of classroom rules to where they have in their classroom, and every student can see it. And they go over those rules the first day of every class, or the first day of their year. And they'll probably come back to those rules to reinforce what those rules are so the kids can obey those rules. Now, a lot of kids are like me. I'm very much a rule follower. You know, if the speed limit is 55, I'm going to go 55. And Courtney makes fun of me all the time, say I drive really slow. But that's just who I am. I am a rule follower. So if a teacher tells me not to do something, more than likely, I'm probably going to do that, okay? And then you have these other kids that I noticed in the class. It doesn't matter what's on the wall. They're not going to pay any attention to it anyways. They're just going to do exactly what they want to do. And so, but here's what I found out about classroom rules. Like, either you're going to have kids like me who are just going to do whatever the teacher says, but it's not really because I love the teacher. It's because I fear punishment. And so I'm not going to do it out of a love for my teacher. I'm going to do it out of a fear of punishment. And then on the other hand, you have these kids that really don't really care what the teacher puts up there. They're just going to do whatever they want to do. And so thinking about classroom rules and stuff like that, they really don't serve the purpose of what the teacher is probably wanting them to serve. Yeah, they may guide some behavior, but they're really, the classroom rules is not really going to give them a desire and a passion to live in a way that the teacher wants them to live. And so rules can be like that. They guide behavior, but they can't create it. And when we look at, the law, that's exactly what we see. It may can guide some behavior. It can keep you somewhere along the line, but it can't give you a desire. It can't give you a passion to actually want to live for those laws. And that's the fundamental problem with actually the law. I mean, police officers know this very well. There's over 7 million people in our country that are in jail right now. We have, and our country never has had more laws than what it's had now. And yet those laws really don't keep people from obeying them. They try to push the line and they try to do whatever they want. They neglect the law whatsoever. And so this is true with God's law. God has given his law to Moses on Mount Sinai, and this law calls for righteous living. But the problem is that it can't create a righteousness in us. Like, it tells us to live righteously, but the problem is that it can't create that righteousness in us. So that's a fundamental problem with the law. It can't create what it demands. And so what we see here today is that there's going to be questions that's going to arise from this. It's like, so if it can't create righteousness in us, then why is it? And so, and there's other questions that could be, well, if I'm not supposed to hold to the law, then should I just neglect the law totally, or should I just not follow laws altogether? So what is the point of this law that it's talking about? And so what we're going to find in this passage is that what the purpose of the law is, what the function of the law is, why is it that God gave us something that we really don't obey for the most part of the law? Like, what is the purpose of the law? And we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to talk about the function and how the law can apply to us today. And so read with me in Galatians 3, 15 through 25, and let's talk about this, and let's see what Paul has to say about the law and if it applies and how it applies to the gospel. So in verse 15, it says, "Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, 'and two seeds,' as referring to many, but rather one, 'and to your seed,' that is Christ. What am I saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why then the law? Is it added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise has been made? Now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. It is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be, for if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. But the scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." And so there's a lot there, okay? So let's pray and let's unpack this passage. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Father, help me articulate what this purpose is well, so that we may understand the law that you've given us and how it applies to us. And help us to see what that purpose is, but in that purpose, help us to see our sinfulness and need of a Savior, Father. So help me articulate this the best way that you can allow me to, Father, so that we may understand this text today. And it's in your name, amen. So you probably read that passage, and the very first, verses of that passage, you're probably saying, what are we even talking about here? And so we see about Abraham and his seed, and we see invalidating a covenant, and we see all these different things that can be extremely confusing, okay? And so let's just break down what's going on here. So Paul is giving an argument for what the purpose of the law is. Okay, so remember back as far as what's going on with what they were believing. So basically, what these people were believing, the Judaizers were saying, hey, you are saved by grace through faith, but also you have to obey the law. So they were adding something to salvation. And so they were saying, so they were making the argument, well, if you don't think that the law is necessary, then that means that people, after they are saved by grace through faith, they can just live in any lifestyle that they want. And God gave us this law, and God gave us this law for absolutely no purpose for whatsoever. And so Paul is making this argument to them as far as what the actual purpose of the law was. Now, the first thing that the argument that he's giving them is this phrase. He said that the promise came before the law. Okay, and so he gives us this in verse 16. It says the promises that were spoken to Abraham and his seed. And so he's talking about the promise that was given to Abraham that God will make his family fruitful and that he will multiply them. They'll outweigh the number of sands on a beach and the stars in the sky. That was the promise that was given to Abraham. But what he's saying is that this promise wasn't necessarily given to Abraham, but this promise was given to Christ, and that the law was never meant for a means of salvation, but as a means to help us understand our sinfulness. And so the law was never intended for us to be saved by, But what the law was doing was helping for us to understand how sinful we really were. And what we have learned is that to receive Abraham's blessings, then we must embrace the law. Or that's what was being taught. To receive Abraham's blessings, you had to obey the law. And if you didn't obey the law, then you wouldn't receive Abraham's blessing, which was salvation. And so what Paul is saying here is that the law and the God's promise to Abraham doesn't relate to each other that way, because the way they're describing Abraham and the promise to Abraham is the way that we are saved. Are we saved by faith? Because remember last week it said that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. So are we saved by faith, or are we saved by doing the law, by works? And he's saying the promise of Abraham and that salvation preceded the law. So it's saying that he's saying that the law doesn't invalidate what happened to the promise to Abraham, but it actually helps us see that our need for grace through faith. It doesn't invalidate the law, or it doesn't invalidate the promise of Abraham. It actually strengthens it. But in that, it's saying that the true beneficiary of God's promise is Christ. In that, we see that in verse 16. That is Christ, and referring to as many, rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. And so the true beneficiary of God's promises is Christ. So that means that everything that God has been given to Christ. That every blessing that God wants this world to have is already given to us in Christ. So that means that any blessing that we want in this life can only be found in Christ. And it's through him that we are blessed, not through the law, and it's not through anything else. But we can only find salvation, and we can only find the blessing that God has promised us through Christ. And that is the point that Paul is making. He's saying the law doesn't invalidate the promises of God, that we are still saved by grace through faith. It doesn't invalidate it. But yet it strengthens it. And he's going to go into this argument of how it strengthens this grace through faith salvation. But here's what we see. As Christians, we tend to seek satisfaction. We tend to seek blessings through other things in this world. We want to try to achieve certain levels of popularity. We want to achieve certain levels of success, thinking that God's wanting to bless us in that type of aspect. And granted, God does bless us sometimes financially to some, and to some we may not be as financially blessed as others. But that's not the blessing that we seek to receive from God. Those things are not what we hold highly. We don't live this life to seek the blessings that this world thinks are blessings. We don't strive to attain popularity. We don't strive to attain some type of financial success. But the blessing that we want to receive more than anything is to be right before God. And it's that salvation. And that the only way that we can receive that blessing is through Christ. And so the law cannot save us. The law cannot give us this blessing. And what Paul is saying, that the promise preceded the law, and that the law doesn't invalidate the promise that God made to Abraham, that we will always be saved by grace through faith, and that the law can never be a means by which we look to for salvation. And so this leads us to the question then, well, if the law can't save us, if the promise of Abraham is true for us today, that we are saved by faith, not by the law, then what is the purpose of the law? Like, why have the law then? Why did God even give it to us? And so in verse 19, Paul gives us that description of why God gave the law. It says, why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. And see, the law was not added to tell us about salvation, but it was to tell us about sin. The law came because of sin. The law, it was there to prove and to show us how great of a lawbreaker we truly were. Because if you read through the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of stories about people sacrificing, of a lot of people doing certain things because they didn't hold to the law. And so what the purpose of the law was to show that you can't hold to all these rules. You can't do it. You can try the best that you can do, but you will never be able to hold to the law fully. And that was the whole purpose of it. It was never meant for you to work your way to God, but it was to show you that you can't do it because you're constantly having to sacrifice. You're constantly having to do these things. You were constantly having to do these things to be made right before God through sacrifice and stuff like that for God to give you forgiveness. And the truth of it is that you can't do enough to earn your way back to God. And that was the purpose of the law. Because if everybody was obedient, then there would be no need for rules, right? If everybody was honest, then we wouldn't have to have rules about, well, if you lie, there's consequences for it. And so if everybody didn't steal or cheat, there would have to be no laws for stealing and punishment for stealing. So the law was there to show us a little bit of God's value and what God holds to. And so it's kind of like household rules. And so Courtney and I have several rules in our house for our kids. So one of them is kind of not draw on furniture or walls or anything like that. And we have those rules because we want to teach our children that to be good stewards and to value the things that God has blessed us with. So we have rules for, hey, you're not supposed to write on furniture, which happens sometimes. You're not supposed to write on walls. And we have several rules about being honest and not lying. But those rules, in a way, show our children what we value. It shows Lydia and Gabe, hey, mommy and daddy value honesty. They value taking care of the things that God has given us. And so our rules show a little bit of what we value. But a little bit of it is we want them to see what God values also. It's just not what we value, but hopefully what we value is what God values. And so a little bit of the law is showing what God is valuing. He's valuing honesty. He's valuing several different things, being loving towards your neighbor. And a lot of the law is showing what God values and so forth. And so in the law, it shows what God values. He values righteousness. And so here's the problem. If God values righteousness, and that's what we see through the law, and the law's never intended to save us, it shows us that we can't do enough to be right before God, then that throws us into a little pickle, right? Like if the law is intended to save us, like these people were saying. But that's why the purpose of the law is so important for us to understand. Because the law was never intended to save us, but the law was just to show us how sinful we really were. You see, the law was intended to be like a thermometer, okay? You stick a thermometer in your mouth, and the thermometer tells you whether you have a temperature or not. And so if you have a temperature, then you're sick, right? And so that in that same way, that's the way the law functions. So if you do the law, and you see that you can't do it. You see that you can't do it. What the law is showing you is that you are sinful. You can't hold to the law. Just like a thermometer tells you whether you're sick or not, a thermometer can't heal you of your sickness. It can only tell you whether you're sick or not. The law can't heal you of your sinfulness, but what it does show you is that you are sinful. That was the only purpose of the law. It wasn't to actually save you. It was just to show you your sinfulness. And so the law doesn't just show us that we somehow just a little bit fall short of God's righteous standard, but that we are completely under sin's rule and sin's reign, and that we are in need of a rescue from this. The law has power to show us that we are not righteous, but it cannot give us the power to be righteous. You see, a lot of people in this text, as far as in the church of Galatia, were thinking that the law could actually give them the behavior and give them the heart and give them everything that they needed to be righteous before God. But the problem is that the law can't give you that power to be righteous. All it can do is show you that you are not righteous. And so he's showing the clear purpose of the law today. And see, here's what we need to understand. The law's not a bad thing. We hear this word, law, and we think, oh, living by the law is bad. And if you live by the law and think of it as a means of salvation, yes, that is a bad thing. But God created the law, so the law is good. It was created and given to us by God. So the law in itself is good because God gave it to us. But just like anything else, something that is wrongly applied can have devastating effects to your life. So if you apply the law as a means of salvation, then you're always going to be trying to live up to a standard to be right before God that you can never attain. You're going to become tired. You're going to become weary. You're going to become frustrated. And you're just honestly going to feel like you're just going to give up on life because you're trying to attain to a standard that you were never meant to attain to or that you never can attain to. Charles Spurgeon gave this illustration. He gave an illustration of a hacksaw. He said, a hacksaw is really good at cutting wood and for other cutting purposes. But he said, a hacksaw is a really poor razor. And so he was saying that a hacksaw used for the wrong purpose can really have devastating effects, even if you use it as a razor. But if it's used for the right purpose, it can be a really good, purposeful tool. And just like the law, if it's wrongly applied, it can have devastating effects on your life. The law is pointing us to a salvation through Christ, that you can't attain these things on your own, but you need Jesus to do that for you. You see, the fundamental problem with the law is that it can give you the rules to live by, but it cannot give you a desire to follow those rules. You know, the problem with the classroom rules was kids really didn't have a desire to follow those rules other than the fear of punishment. And that's the same way with the law. People obeyed those laws in these times because they feared punishment from God. And so they were just hoping that their life would just resemble something where God wouldn't condemn them. And the problem in their thinking was that they were condemned because of their sin, that God didn't have to condemn them anymore. They were already condemned because of their sin. And they were trying to work through this law, trying to attain some type of right place before God. And the law was never meant to give them that place. The law can never give you righteousness. That can only come through Christ. One of my favorite passages is Romans 8:1-4. It says, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, Christ died to deal with our sinfulness. He did what the law wasn't capable of doing. He was able to save us from our sinfulness. And not only that, in our salvation, He now can give us the heart to want to obey and value God's values and do God's law. And so in saying that, I know there's a lot of questions that are going to arise. Well, if He gave us the heart to obey God, then shouldn't we obey the law now? Isn't that something that we should do? Isn't the law good now? If He gives us the heart to want to do it, should we not do it now? And the quick answer to that question, because honestly, that's a whole another 30-minute sermon, is yes and no. That in God's law, there's sections to God's law, and we see on the Mount Sinai, we see the Ten Commandments, which is God's moral law, and we see all the other laws flow out of the Ten Commandments. And if you're wanting to know more about why we hold to some laws and why we don't hold to the other laws, I want to invite you to Wednesday night Bible study and come to it, because I'm going to leave you hanging because I want you to come to Wednesday night Bible study, all right? And we're going to talk about why we hold to some laws and why we don't hold to other laws, and what is the purpose of God doing that, and why God designed it that way. And so we're going to talk about which laws we hold to and which laws we don't and why that is, okay? So I want you to come to Wednesday night Bible study because I see all your faces and you want to know. I see it. And so come to Wednesday night Bible study and we're going to actually talk about why some of the things we hold to and why some of the things we don't hold to. But the quick answer to that question is at least not the majority of the law. We don't hold to it. But there are a few things we still do hold to because it's God's moral law, and those things are timeless. And so we hold to those things throughout our time here on earth. And so what we learn from this is that we must root our lives in the gospel and not the law. And here's what I've learned. People who root their lives in the law tend to be cold. They tend to be quick. They tend to be sharp. They're kind of like spiritual porcupines. They're not fun to be around, and especially up close, they're not fun to be around. And so people who root themselves in the law can become very legalistic. They judge people by their actions very quickly, and they're quickly to condemn people. And so we don't want to be rooted in the law. We want to be rooted in the gospel, and we want to stand for what God stands for, and we want to value what God values. Not because we're trying to earn a right standing before God, but because we are already right before God, we're already accepted, and out of our overflow of love, we want to do these things for our Savior. And so there's a difference between the order by which we place these things in our life. And so lastly, to live this, we must rely on the Holy Spirit. Thankfully, God didn't just leave us on our own to live this life, but through our salvation, we're given the Holy Spirit. And you see, the Holy Spirit can give us the motivation and the desire to live for God's glory in our life. And we do this by treasuring the promises of the gospel and by experiencing God's presence through the Holy Spirit. And the way that we grow and the way that the Spirit works in us is by treasuring the promises that God has given us in the gospel and further, and by experiencing and being in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Spirit works in steps with the Word of God. And so if we are not in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't have the ammunition for it to work in our lives and to bring us before the presence of God and enjoy the fellowship with God that we need for our daily lives. Maybe you're here today and you've been trying to work to earn God's favor and you're just miserable. You're just tired. You're tired of trying to work for God's favor. I just want you to know that you don't have to work. Christ did everything that you needed to do. You were supposed to live the law perfectly. You couldn't do it. Christ lived out that law perfectly. You were supposed to, because of your sin, you were supposed to die a sinner's death. Christ died that death for you. And not only that, but 3 days later, he rose and defeated sin and death. And now we can partake in that salvation because of what Christ has done for us. So I challenge you today, if you're here and you don't know and you never knew Christ did that for you, I pray that today that you'll stop trying to live your life and trying to earn your salvation through works and try to do by doing good things, and you'll just accept the free gift that God has given you in Christ. Maybe you're a Christian here today and you've just been, instead of living by the gospel, you've been living by the law. And you've started to say, hey, I'm trying to work to be accepted to God. God, I'm trying to do good and I'm trying to do these things so that you'll love me more. And I'm here to tell you that there's nothing that you can do for God to love you more or love you less. His love is perfect for you. And that we don't do these things out of being right before God, but we do these things because we are accepted. And we do these things just out of an overflow of love for the Father. And so today you may need to turn and you may just say, hey, I'm no longer going to live by my own power and my own strength, but I'm going to start living by the power of the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to stop trying to live on my own strength. I'm going to live by the strength that God has given me through His Spirit. So the challenge for us today is not whether or not we should live by the law. But the question today is, are you going to start living by the Spirit? And are you going to stop living in your own power? Are you going to live by the power that God has given you? And that the world can see a difference in you, not by you living in your power, but by living in the power by which He gives us. Because people can see a difference in that. People can see people doing a lot of stuff according to their own strength and their own power, but it's different when stuff is happening that nobody can have an explanation for other than something supernatural is going on. So my prayer for you today is that we do not live by the law, but we live by the power of the Spirit to which God has given us. And that the purpose of the law is just to show us our sinfulness, to show us how rotten we are, and how much we need Jesus Christ in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I know that this was a weird text in a sense that it's not what we normally talk about, Father. It's the purpose of the law that you've given us. And Lord, Lord, I pray that today I was able to articulate it in a way that people could understand. And Lord, the reality is that your law is good, and it shows us our need for a Savior. Lord, I'm thankful that you created a way for us to see that we can obtain the righteousness that you desire and that you require of us. And that your law shows us, Father, that we need something greater. And Father, we're so thankful for Christ, that he did all the work for us. And not only that, Father, but in our salvation, he can give us the actual desire to want to do these things. And Father, we pray that you will guide our hearts, and that you will give us the desire to want to live for you, to want to value what you value, and to treasure the things that you treasure. But Father, I also pray that you place in our hearts to hate the things that you hate. And that, Lord, we're disgusted by the sins in our lives. And that, Lord, we keep reminding ourselves of how we are saved. Lord, that you gave us the promise of Abraham before you ever gave us the law of Moses. And that, Father, we are saved by grace through faith. And we don't have to earn our salvation to you, Father. But, Lord, you graciously gave it to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live by the Spirit and not by our own strength. And we ask this in your name.